On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hello? Hello, anybody there?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. And how are you today? Fill in the blank. What is your name? Fill in the blank. Rating Ron from 1 for poor and 5 for excellent, how do you feel about him? Vote now. Whoa, that sucks, huh? Didn't know my rating would be that low. Obviously, I'm kidding around. There's no way for you to vote. I didn't even tell you what to press, so that doesn't really make any difference. And what if I graded you? What if I graded you on what I think of you? Yeah, would hurt, wouldn't it? It would hurt, wouldn't it? Welcome to the program. That's enough talking into thin air for me. How are you today? Enjoying yourself? Are you enjoying your summer? You getting out there and doing things? Going to the beach? Playing volleyball? Kayaking? Parasailing? Huh? Well, if you're a paralegal and you're parasailing, that's a lot of paras, isn't it? You're jumping out of a plane with a parachute? Wow, never realized how many paras there were. Do you own a parrot? Wow, this just doesn't stop, does it? It's time for me to seal coat my driveway. Ron, where is that coming from? What, did you just pick that one out of thin air? Well, it's true. I've been thinking about it for a few weeks now. Here's the problem. I live in Massachusetts. That's the problem. I can't find anybody to seal coat my driveway. I can't. Every time I call up these companies, they say, well, we can squeeze you in mid-November. What? Is business that good? Maybe I'm in the wrong business doing radio here. Maybe I should be in seal coating. It's true. I'm in the wrong business. So are you. Why don't you be a plumber? I needed a plumber about a month ago. I talked about it on the air. I had a irrigation pipe that was leaking. I bought some of that Flex Seal tape. Damn stuff doesn't work. I wrapped this, as they say in the commercial, you can saw a boat in half and take this tape and just tape it up and it'll go on the water and it won't leak at all. That's what they demonstrate in the commercial. I had a little bit of a leaky pipe. I put some of this Flex Seal tape tight around the pipe. It's still leaking like a bastard. It just dribbled down the end of the tape and was still leaking. So much for that. Never believe what you see on TV, kids. Never believe it. So I called a plumber because I needed that pipe replaced. And I swear I called about 5 different plumbers and the soonest I could get someone over was 2019. Now, I did finally find somebody that showed up the next day. I guess it wasn't an emergency or anything. Otherwise, maybe they would have come over and charged me $5,000 just to show up. What a wonderful job that would be. You know, plumbers, they don't just come over and show up and say, hi, how are you? They charge you. Well, Ron, be $100 for us to show up, plus whatever work, parts and labor are involved. What are you talking about? That's $100 just for us to show up. Even if we do nothing, that's $100. So let me understand something. You come over to my house, you look at my leaky pipe, and you say, nah, I can't fix that. Please give me $100. What? I'm in the wrong business. So I tried to call someone to seal coat my driveway because there's cracks in it and it's starting to degrade. And it's about 15 years old almost. And I don't think it's been seal coated ever in its life. 15 years ago. So I call up these seal coats. They can't come. We're extremely busy. We'll try to fit you into the schedule. You'll try to fix... Do you know how much it costs to seal? It would cost me like $600 to seal coat my driveway. But they're going to try to squeeze me in? What, you don't want my money anymore? What is it? I found one seal coat company called, it was something stupid like Bob Seal Coat or like B&K or T&O and all these initials, S&A, S&M, S&M Seal Coating. I'm not sure about that one. It was an initial company, and somewhere it was like Bob's S&K Seal Coating. I have no idea. And they were going to come right over, and I looked on their website, and they basically didn't have one. It was, you know, I wanted to see some examples of their work. I don't think they seal coated anything yet. I think they're just waiting for the phone to ring, and whoever calls gets the first seal coating. So I said, no, that's okay. Thank you anyway. See, now I want to go for the one. See, I want to go for the popular ones that can't squeeze me in because they must be really good. If I can't even get an appointment to have them come over, they must be awesome. Isn't that the way it works? It's the smoke and mirrors thing. I mean, who knows? They could be just sitting by the phone having nothing to do. And they say, now, don't take every call. Don't tell them you're available. Make them want you. We got nothing to do. We're not making any money, but don't tell them we'll be right over. We don't sound good when you do that. Make it sound like we're really busy and that they have to really, really want us bad. I'm sorry. I can't squeeze you in right now. If you call back next week, we might be able to squeeze you in. Oh, could you please? You must be so good because you're going to have to squeeze me in. I got to be squeezed in there. Squeeze me in. They do that at the doctor's office. Doctor, I've got arthritis in my shoulder. It's really killing me. I can't even sit down. It's just the pain is too much. Can you look at it? We're really, really busy because... we're really, really good at what we do. Everybody wants to have an appointment with us. We're going to try to squeeze you in next Thursday. If there's a cancellation, we'll call you. We're going to have to squeeze you in. What? How do you squeeze me into something? Either you can take me and give me the appointment, or you can't. What is this squeezing me in kind of thing? You can come see the doctor for 45 seconds. We'll give you 45 seconds with the doctor. We'll squeeze you in between two other appointments. We're going to squeeze it. See this little square where we have it already booked? We're going to reduce the size of that square. We're going to make a little square for you. We're going to squeeze you right into the schedule. I don't want to be squeezed. Don't squeeze me. When you squeeze, you limit my size and you poke me between two other people. I don't want to be poked. I don't want to be squeezed. I want a regular appointment. The doctor is really booked. And you know what that means, because really, the way we schedule, everybody is squeezed. There's no leg room here. We're squeezing everybody. There's no regular appointments anymore. They're all squeezes. This is a doctor of squeezing. This doctor squeezes. What we do is squeeze. All we do is squeeze. Squeeze you in. You're going to squeeze me in. You ain't touching me. You're going to squeeze me in. That's like booking a seat on an airline. We have no seats whatsoever. Do you mind sitting between two fat people? Maybe we can squeeze you in. We'll get some big people, some big security people, and we're just going to squeeze you in between the two chairs. You won't be able to move left or right. We'll squeeze you in. It's a squeeze. It's a good squeeze.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person, because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Oh man, I'm squeezing you in. I've got a lot of things to do. I'm going to squeeze you in here. I'm going to squeeze in this show. Yesterday, I came across the phrase that I hate the most. I've talked about this as well on the air. I can't stand this phrase. I went to a supermarket, tried to squeeze them in. I didn't have time to go to the supermarket. I had to squeeze it in. I had to squeeze that one in. I had a little pimple on my neck. I had to squeeze it in. Squeeze that in. Anyway, so I go to the supermarket, and I'm buying some fruit, you know, and some watermelon and stuff like that, because it's the season to be jolly with watermelon. Watermelon's only good for a very small part of the season, like about 6 minutes. Otherwise, it doesn't taste very good. You kind of have to squeeze it in. So I'm going up to the register, and there's a girl there at the cashier thing, and she says, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking for peace and a really good woman, but apparently you're a little short of them in aisle 6. She didn't laugh, because that really wasn't all that funny anyway. And she, you know, she does the thing and tells me, you know, it'll be $12.11. And I give her the money, and I said, "Well, thank you very much." And she said, "No problem." No problem? How about "you're welcome"? Whatever happened to the phrase "you're welcome"? She says to me, "No problem." Oh, I see. Would there have been a problem in helping me out in the supermarket and checking me out and having me pay for the food? Would that have been a problem? "Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot. I'm glad that I've raised the level of my interference in your life to not being a problem for you." The correct answer, young lady, would be, "It was my pleasure. You're welcome. Thank you." Not "no problem." I'm a person of tremendous problems, she's probably saying to herself. "Look, you know, I can't hold down a job. I have bad skin. My boyfriend dumped me. I'm nowhere. I'm strung out on drugs. Comparatively, me checking you out at this cashier place, comparatively, that's no problem. That's no problem. Compared to the problems I have, this has been no problem." No problem. I can't stand that. The other thing I can't stand is when people call me sir. I don't like that. It makes me feel old. You have no reason to give me any respect. If I were dressed up in a three-piece suit and I were doing some banking or something like that, I guess you can call me sir. But I was wearing, like, jeans and a t-shirt, and they called me sir. That's not good for me. That doesn't bode well for the way that I look. This happened in the same supermarket. I had a few items, like this watermelon, and another register opened up, and they said, next person in line, please. And there was somebody near me who had a lot of stuff, and they said, oh, you can go in front of me, you just have the watermelon. And I say, no, I'll stay here. And the guy said, okay, no problem, sir. You double hit me with things I don't like. Nope, you hit me with the no problem. What kind of problem with this? What are you talking about, no problem? Where was the problem? Where was the problem not to be a problem? And then he called me sir. And this guy was like 50 years old. He wasn't, you know, he was in my age group. And yet he called me sir. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't call me sir. Actually, don't call me anything. There's no reason to have a comma and then identify me in a category. There's no reason for it. Just shut up. Just go about your business. That's no problem. I'm glad I'm not putting you out. I don't even know who you are. I have no involvement in your life whatsoever. How could I have caused a problem? Or not? Stop it. Just stop it. If people just shut up. Now, I know I'm sitting here and I'm talking at you, but you invited me in. You know, I guess so you can get some sleep or something. By the way, if you have trouble sleeping, insomnia, you can't fall asleep, just play my show, and I guarantee you'll be in a sound, unrelenting sleep within 5 minutes. I'm a sleep aid. No problem. Thank you, Ron. No problem. There's not been a problem for me. If it was a problem, I would have told you, but it's not a problem. I told you it's a problem, but it's not a problem. Don't worry. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I know I'm talking, but people aimlessly talking need to just shut up. I hate small talk. I can't do small talk. I don't even understand what that is. I don't understand the difference between small talk and big talk. I really don't. I can't do it. I simply cannot. I can't do it. I'm bad at it. I'm really bad at it. I can't do small talk. I don't know how. I've never did it. I've never done it. I hear people doing it all the time. They try to do it with me, and they realize this is going nowhere. This man doesn't know how to small talk. I don't. I can tall talk. I can talk about things. We can have an in-depth conversation about things. I can do that. But the small talk? I can't do that. There's no point to it. Ron, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? I'm good. Warm outside, isn't it? Yes, it's very, very warm. But breezy. Oh, yes, it is breezy. You know, with the humidity being so high, it doesn't have to be that warm to be uncomfortable. No, it doesn't. No, you're right. It really, you're absolutely right. It doesn't. So, are you enjoying your summer? I hate it. Yeah. Goes by so quickly, doesn't it? What does, the summer? Yes, it goes by very, very quickly. First it's spring, summer, and then the fall. And like you say to yourself, where'd the summer go? You feel that way? Yeah, I guess sometimes I do. You got any plans for the summer? I don't know. Yeah. Nice this summer, though. Nice and dry. Yeah, it's nice and dry. Yeah. We're thinking of going away. Oh, good. How about going away now? How about that? Well, I got to run. Yeah, me too. Have a nice summer. You have a nice summer, too. Good talking to you. What? 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 We didn't talk. You just like filled up the air with stuff that was meaningless to both of us. Well, what I was doing, Ron, I was trying to be polite. That's not polite. That's annoying. That's just annoying. Stop talking to me. If you have nothing to say of any consequence or any meaning, then just shut the hell up. Don't demean me by asking me if I have any plans for the summer. You don't care. And why should I tell you if I do? What if I decide to go away for a week? Were you going to break into my house because now I've told you I won't be there? What? Why do I don't even know who you... I know you live nearby, but I don't even know who you are. Why are you engaging me in conversation about things that make no difference whatsoever to either of us? Why don't you just wave, say hello, and keep on walking? What is this small talk stuff? Do you think that ingratiates anybody? No, it doesn't. It becomes pathetic. It's pathetic. This is why I don't have a lot of friends. On Facebook, I have tons of friends, but I don't small talk them. I don't relate to them. The only time I use my Facebook friends is when it's a birthday. Because Facebook tells me when one of my I have over 1,000 friends, well over 1,000, really close friends. I would spend more time with them, but I can't find a venue that's large enough to hold all my friends in one place. So I tend not to communicate with them at all. They're Facebook friends. I guess that's good. Also, you know, if you want to donate to a charity or something and you're into that stuff, at least, you know about that. As a matter of fact, the Facebook people are starting this donation thing. So you can hit up your friends for money. It's a wonderful idea. Why have Facebook friends if you can't hit them up for money? I mean, seriously, what's the point? So, and I mean that in a very unkind way. Actually, we're going to talk to one of the Facebook people. I'm always intimidated by talking to Facebook people because they know more than I do, and I don't like that aspect in people. This is a woman that I would small talk because I don't know what the hell she's talking about. So let's speak to her right now. She's with Facebook. Hello, Emily.
Hi.
How you doing?
I am terrific. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Emily Dalton-Smith joins us. She's a Strategic Partnerships for Social Good people with Facebook. That's a heck of a title you have.
Thank you.
It sounds like you're going to be solving the problems of the world here with the Strategic Partnerships. Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, I like that job. I like that title. Okay. Facebook continues to confound me because it does like everything. Facebook is turning into its own universe, it seems like. You're kind of like getting into everything here. And one of the things, I actually participated in what we're going to be talking about today. I made a donation to a cause based on a Facebook friend that contacted me. And I actually used the system here. Facebook is getting into inviting your friends to do fundraisers.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad that you've used it.
Yes, I have. And it was so easy to do. It was almost like, wow, did that happen already? I mean,
well, that's our goal. We want to make it as easy as possible for people to fundraise and to contribute to the causes they care about.
Yes. Now, is there a difference between fundraising and funding yourself for something? I mean, are those separate things?
Well, anybody can fundraise on Facebook, and yeah. You can fundraise for a nonprofit, or now with our personal fundraisers, you can fundraise for yourself or for a friend or even someone or something that's not on Facebook, like a sick pet.
Okay. Now, there is a very small percentage fee that Facebook takes. Is it Facebook that's taking it? But very, very small, actually, compared to other things. Like when I get telemarketed, they get like 70%, and 30% goes to the actual person I'm writing a check to. This is different, isn't it?
It is different. It's a really special experience, and our goal is to make a platform for good, not to make a profit. So I'm glad you think that that's happening.
Yes, well, it seems to be. Okay, so is that what makes Facebook different than other systems?
Well, there are three things that make Facebook fundraisers unique. The first thing is reach, because, of course, your friends are already there. If you're like me, you're sharing and posting every single day to them, and so your fundraiser can easily reach your network. The second thing is ease. It's just, as you noted, really easy to set up a fundraiser in just a couple of steps, and you can donate in two taps without ever leaving Facebook. And then the third thing that makes it special is trust. People know who you are when you're fundraising, and even if you're not already friends, they can see how you're connected, so they can trust where their contributions are going.
Okay. And now, when you're doing this, there are various pay methods. I think you've got PayPal and you've got credit card. Are there others, or is that pretty much how that works?
People can use credit cards and PayPal. Uh-huh. And as I said, you can donate in just two taps. So yeah. Our goal is to make it a really easy, terrific process for anybody who wants to fundraise.
Now, does Facebook maintain the credit card information? I'm concerned about my security. Tell me how I can be secure.
Well, it's a great question. Facebook takes privacy and security really seriously. I'm not the right person to ask about the mechanics of that, but it's at the core of everything we do. So we want to make sure that this is a fabulous experience for everybody.
Okay. All right. There's somebody who has another title, as creative title as you, but more towards security. Okay. All right. Give me an example of what some things could be fundraised for, so that get some ideas.
Yeah, we have a wonderful fundraiser on our site right now, started by a dad whose teenage daughter needed an emergency heart transplant. Really scary stuff. And they turned to their Facebook community for help. Their dad created a Facebook fundraiser, and they've raised nearly $40,000 to help the family cover their expenses.
Wow. And these are usually charitable donation type of contributions that are tax deductible, I think.
Well, it depends on your contribution. We offer fundraising for nonprofits, which are tax deductible, and we also have personal fundraisers for people.
And as I used it a few days ago, what happens is immediately you get an email. I believe it was an email. Maybe it was right in Facebook, where I could just print out a receipt like really fast, and it did. Within like 2 seconds of contributing, I had a receipt that I can indeed use for a charitable donation, a tax deduction. So, yeah, that like happened immediately.
That's our goal. As I said, we're trying to make this as really easy as possible, and so we do send a donation receipt upon you sending your contribution, and of course all of your information is saved in your payment history. So we're going to make it super duper easy for you just to give and to feel really confident that you'll have all the information you need about it.
Okay, fine. Now, what if I wanted to set this up? Where would I go? Does it show up on my Facebook page? How do I find out this thing?
The easiest way is just to go to facebook.com/fundraisers, and you could actually just create one today.
Wow. I understand that you have some data here that 1 out of 5 people in America actually donate on a regular basis.
Yeah, 1 in 5 people in America have already given to a personal fundraiser online. We're really inspired by all the activity that we've seen around people fundraising and giving to great causes on Facebook over the past few years. And so we're excited now that people have a way to fundraise and to give directly on Facebook.
I'll tell you why this is interesting to me in a psychological sense is I'm one of those people that I'm the one in five, probably more than 1 in 5. When I contribute, I feel good that I've done that, and I'm helping some organization or some person out. That's a good feeling. But when I did it on Facebook, I actually felt like I was connecting with other people that were also doing it, and we were reaching a common goal. There was a connection factor that I never felt when I contributed individually through the mail or something like that.
Isn't that wonderful that a fundraiser can bring people together as a community, and you really become part of this group of people who are all joining together to support a common cause?
It's almost like you can touch them. Not that I really physically want to do that, because some of them I don't really want to touch. But if I wanted to, I could. I mean, in a psychological manner.
Yeah, it feels wonderful every time I give, and I give a lot.
Well, you better.
And it feels so wonderful every time to know who my contribution is going to, and to just see everybody else, especially when I can see which of my friends have given, and to feel like we're really pulling together to make something good happen.
Mm-hmm. You know what Facebook should do someday, and it would be incredible? Rent out the largest venue on the planet and have a Facebook friend reunion, and everybody who's a Facebook friend of everybody and all those Facebook friends would show up to this party, and there would be like 17 billion people in attendance.
I think it'd be about 2 billion. I'm not sure there's a place that can host it, but I love that idea.
Not even a Holiday Inn somewhere? I can't believe you couldn't do that. All right. Thanks for the information. Where do we go to get more information about what we've talked about?
Facebook.com/fundraisers has all the information you need, and you can go there and set your fundraiser up today.
Thank you, Emily Dalton Smith, with the coolest job title I've ever heard. Thanks for speaking to us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Remy Adeleke joins us. He's a U.S. Navy SEAL veteran, and he was an actor in Transformers the last night. Oh. Very interesting man you are, sir, for many reasons. You're before we get into what we're talking about, you had an interesting life. Not born in this country, is that right?
No, I was born in Western Africa, and I lived in Nigeria until I was about 5.
Yeah, and then you had you were doing well, and then something changed your life very quickly.
Yeah, so my father was a well-known Nigerian engineer. He worked on great engineering feats all over the world, and the Nigerian government, being very corrupt at the time, essentially stripped our family of everything. And in the same breath of my father's death, you know, we lost everything. So my mom, you know, had to move us out of Nigeria, and we moved to New York City, specifically the Bronx.
Yeah. And then you went into the armed services, into the Navy. What prompted you to do that?
When I was a kid, my mom, she would take us to the movies a lot, and so essentially I was inspired through film. There were two films in particular, one by the name of Bad Boys, and then a second film by the name of The Rock, and The Rock was my first exposure to Navy SEALs. I never really knew what a Navy SEAL was until I saw that film. So in 2002, when I was getting in trouble and not doing much of anything with my life, those two films, the seeds that were planted through those films kind of rose back up, and I joined the Navy to be a SEAL.
Yeah. And then you grew a great appreciation for veterans and for those that serve and people in your situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love veterans, you know, being a veteran myself. So after I got out, you know, I still, and still to this day, try to serve veterans in any way I can. And I take honor in being able to do that.
Yeah. So what you've done is you've kind of with your show business prowess, you've kind of hooked up, and we've got a thing called the Show 'Em campaign. What is that?
Yeah, the Show 'Em campaign is essentially the campaign that Jockey started. Show 'Em what's underneath. Show 'Em your jockey.
Yeah.
And essentially, what the campaign does is it takes looks at everyday heroes, people who embody the characteristics of the company Jockey in and of itself, and it looks at their stories of resilience, perseverance, and hope, and takes those stories to inspire change in the lives of other people.
Okay.
And one of the things I love about the campaign is that they're not just about selling a brand. They're about, you know, inspiring lives through story.
Right. So, like, well, show them what you got. Leave the jockeys on, though.
Leave the jockeys on,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Because that would be a different campaign if we went beyond that. Okay.
Totally different campaign.
Totally different campaign. Wow, so did they contact you? Did you contact them? I know Jockey has a similar viewpoint that you have, I suppose.
Yeah. They reached out to me. At the time, I was towards the end of filming the movie Transformers.
Yeah.
And somebody who knew I was in the film, you know, reached out and said, "Hey, I think that this might be a great fit for us."
Nice.
You know, just yeah.
Very sweet. Oh, a great fit. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you like to play on words.
see now, everything you say is going to be transformed. Oh, here we go again into the jockey. Okay. Now, on a serious note, you still have great concerns about veterans and what they're going through right now. And what if someone is a veteran or knows a veteran that's going through some hard times?
I would just say, you know, if you know a veteran is going through some hard times, you know, show them your support, be there for them. Sometimes, you know, so often when we're talking or dealing with somebody that's going through some issues, we just want to do a lot of the talking. But I would say, you know, be an ear to listen, listen to what they have going on in their mind, and then listen, you'll be able to come up with a better solution to help.
Now, I've done a lot of interviews about veterans and about what they go through as a result, and I learned that simply saying to a veteran, "Thank you for your service," seems to be now just a calling card of something that you say, but you can go so much further by, as you say, listening to them, listening to their story, let them emote to you, and it goes further than just that phrase now, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, even, you know, helping to meet the needs of veterans, you know, there's a lot of veterans, you know, they just, some just need help, you know, so if you can help, point them in the right direction of a job or, you know, point them in the right direction of a school, education, you know, that would be tremendously helpful as well.
All right. So where do we go for this information and to find out about the Show 'Em campaign?
You can go to jockey.com. On the website, you'll hear more about my story along with five other heroes from the Jockey campaign and their stories of what they've gone through. And also, you know, you'll be able to see some awesome prints and ads as well.
Okay. And I assume that you are wearing jockeys at this very moment.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I would show you, but I can't see you. You can't see
you me. Can't. It, even though it is part of the campaign, I cannot. This is not TV, unfortunately. Okay.
Yeah.
You sound like a great guy, and thank you for taking yourself and putting yourself forward to represent, and that's kind of a cool thing in itself.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate you, and thank you for your support to veterans.
Great. Thank you so much. Good talking to you.
All right, great talking to you.
Right.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Very nice. Nice man. He's a nice man. Kind of guy you want to have a beer with. Not too many beers. That would be inebriated, and then you'd have small talk involved, and that's not too good. Nice man, though. Nice man. I never thought in my lifetime I would see an advertising connection between veterans and underpants. I just... it's an interesting campaign. I understand it. Congratulations to the Jockey people. But veterans and underpants, I just, it's a stretch, so to speak. It's a stretch. It's a very big, stretchy thing. Tomorrow on the program, I'm going to be talking about sex. Not because I have to or because I want to, but because that's what we're doing. And it'd be interesting. One aspect of it that is, we'll take a look at tomorrow. So please join me tomorrow and all through the weekend for that particular program. Until then, Thank you for listening. I wish you peace.